views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today is a overcast Monday, we'll call it. It's rained a little snow last night, but you know what the heck. Into a new week. Calling in from Wasilla, Alaska, is gubernatorial candidate Adam Crum. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well this morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. How's it going there in Wasilla?
It's going well. The weather can't make its mind up. A couple days ago, we had exposed lawn, and then it snowed and covered it, and then by midday it was gone, and then yesterday afternoon it started snowing again. So, typical spring breakup.
we're similar here. It was very nice last week and sunshiny, and sun disappeared, snow's melting little by little, but what the heck, it's better than the 40 below, 30 below that we were subjected to a month ago. My goodness. Anyway, how goes your campaign?
Campaign's been going fantastic. I have been crisscrossing the state. Last week I was in Soldotna, and then I just recently got back from Ketchikan for a couple days, and after this I head to the airport and I fly to Kodiak.
You're doing well in the polls. It's great to see. But I've always thought, how does a person who you've not run for a position before, and all of a sudden you're running for a statewide position, how do you put together a statewide campaign?
A lot of phone calls and strategy sessions with experienced people.
Okay.
I have been leaning into, and I've got a kitchen cabinet, so to speak, of informal advisors, people that have worked on campaigns on multiple things that I pick their brain, and that helped me guide me as I assembled a team and continues as we kind of like continue to hit our stride. So it has been a lot of just trying to lean on the experience and those that have come before.
So, as we were discussing earlier this morning, you're in Wasilla, then you're going to go to Anchorage, and then you're going to go to Kodiak. Is that about right?
My wife made the comment that I've always said I wanted to be a pilot, that it would have been pretty advantageous if I actually had a pilot and we had a plane.
You got a lot of hours in. What is the theme that you've been working on for your campaign?
The theme that I've been really pushing is that Alaska has been in a state of managed decline for a long time now, probably since 2013, 2014. And we haven't actually really done anything. There has been no optimism. There has been no hope. Nothing has broken loose. We've seen net out migration. And what I'm telling is, as an Alaskan born and raised here, and you talk to people about what do we want for our state, a lot of us want us to take control of our destiny, take control of our direction. And while we've got a lot of opportunity sets coming in the future with these large projects, how are we going to do things a little bit differently to make sure that we're diversifying our economy and capturing and training Alaskans to put into these jobs so this wealth and these resources stay in the state? That's one of the things that I've been pushing is, it's not about managed decline. It's about not accepting that, stepping forward, and wanting to and build what's next. And a lot of that comes down to infrastructure. And there's a lot of things in Alaska that we've talked about building and we've never pulled the trigger on. And that's what we need to do.
Well, one of those is we're looking at being very, very close to a gas line. And you've been very significant in that as a past commissioner of revenue. But at the same time, you have what I'm just going to call a bad actors in the legislature who seem to want to tax it out of existence, such as, you know, a senator from South Anchorage.
Yeah, that's...
Kathy Geisel.
the sad thing is we have too many of these kind of protectionists and NIMBYs in the state of Alaska.
Yeah.
People that were here at a certain time, and if you're alive and working during the 70s and the pipeline boom, and you had an opportunity to earn a lot of wages, buy a house, maybe save up enough to get a vacation house, and now you've got yours and you're set. And now you don't want anybody else to have an opportunity. And to me, I just can't stand that, because we need to be thinking about creativity, because it's not about ourselves. The two reasons that I'm running, their names are Lucy and Ellie. I have two little girls. And I want to make sure there's an Alaska that they can actually live and thrive in. You know, you talk about the gas line. Actually, before this call, I was working on a property tax assessment, because I've had folks from industry reach out to me over the last week for my opinion on this, because I used to work on this. And there is creative solutions across the board that actually make it more palatable for municipalities, you know, and so you're not kind of taxing it into oblivion, but you're also making sure the municipalities get some. Because the weird thing is, on this property tax, do you know the largest single tax recipient of the pipeline is going to be the state of Alaska by far?
Yeah,
because of the unincorporated borough. Of a projection, let's call it over 30 years, about $8 billion of property taxes received into the state, $5.5 billion goes to the state of Alaska. So even as a state, if we were to either defer that or cut down our take, municipalities could actually keep a good portion of theirs, but the state then is taking the hit, so we can actually encourage this project to go on. But creative decisions and ideas like that haven't even been thrown out. It's just simply been no.
Yeah, Kathy Geisel actually said that if we build the gas line, more prostitution is going to happen, so we shouldn't build a gas line.
Which is an amazing concept, because if you look at the history of the world and economics at all and the downfalls of society, when economies crash, you also then have an increase in substance abuse, mental health, suicide ideations, and prostitution. So we could, what are you trying to protect against? Are you trying to encourage that we go down that path to where no one has hope, so everybody gets on drugs and alcohol? You know, owning a workforce development company for 20 years, and you'd be able to see and put people to work. It's amazing when people have economic opportunity, the societal ills go away.
True.
People have hope. They have purpose. They have dignity. They actually can provide for their families, and then they want to do the right things and spend that, and they're not looking for hope at the end of a bottle.
You know, you came into the governor's cabinet, and he held two positions, two very significant positions. The first one was health and social services. When and how long were you at that position?
Man,
I'm trying to look at your back, you know, your past experience for the listeners to know you a little bit better.
December 3rd, 2018 at noon, I took over of health and social services position. I remember that vividly because November 30th or 28th was a large earthquake that actually knocked out South Central. So before I was in the role, the predecessor, he actually reached out and invited me into the state emergency response meetings so that I could understand what was going on and be a warm handoff. So did the health commissioner role for 4 years until November of 2022. And that was just a bear of a job, because we had the state psychiatric hospital, and Anchorage was on the verge of getting shutting down by our federal licensing.
I remember that, yeah.
Had to take extreme action, which really upset all kinds of folks, but we finally stabilized it, because it's a critical key in our entire healthcare system, because if API is not working, then that means patients are stuck in emergency rooms, which is inappropriate level of care. It just drives up the cost. That means other people aren't getting trauma care. So we took drastic action, and I brought in a private management team to come in and help run API. And we finally got it stabilized and working through other issues. And then, boom, in January of 2020, COVID hit, and had to lead the state through that. It has been quite a ride.
I would say so. What we're going to do now is take a commercial break. Can you hold on over the commercial break?
Absolutely.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio with Adam Crum. gubernatorial candidate. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
We saw a couple of vicious ice storms this winter that wreaked havoc on our local trees. That's why Eric and his crew at the Great Alaska Tree Company have been busy. As spring arrives and you start to see damaged trees around your house or property, get on their schedule now as they're already filling up for summer. However, if you've got a tree or two that needs dealing with right now, well, they always keep part of the schedule open for just such emergencies. That's the Great Alaska Tree Company. Go to greatalaskatreeco.com and get on the schedule now. That's greatalaskatreeco.com.
Mountain View Eye Center is making a difference. Ebba is from the Congo. Her son moved to Alaska, bringing Ebba, who had become blind from untreated cataracts. They went to Mountain View Eye Center for cataract surgery, and for the first time in years, Ebba could see clearly. She told her son, "You are so handsome." And then, Ebba truly saw her granddaughter for the first time. Good things are happening. Visit MountainViewEyes.com.
The deadline for interior Alaska studded tire removal is April 30th. Avoid the rush and don't risk a ticket. Let GCR Tires and Service swap out your studded winter tires with summer tires now. If you're driving on Bridgestone Blizzak snow tires, the deadline doesn't apply to you, but you should change your tires soon. The studded tire deadline, April 30th, rolls around soon. Drop into GCR today. GCR Tires and Service, the tire guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman. Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior Alaska homes for decades. Efficient, quiet, and reliable. Buy yours today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
Daytime highs approaching 39 today. Under overcast skies with a chance for isolated rain showers. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to around 19 tonight. Slight chance for snow tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 37. Cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow Wednesday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, I have Adam Crum. He is a gubernatorial candidate for the state of Alaska for governor. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, man. I'm enjoying this run.
I was just going to ask you, you know, it seems like y'all, there's 18 of you guys running, or 18 of you people running. I don't mean guys, you know, there's, and about once every month, y'all get together at some event, some forum, and how do y'all get along?
We get along pretty well. We joke that we should probably get a group rate on a van rental each time we fly in and out of a place for a candidate forum.
You know, we had our I'm a member of the Republican Party, and you were up here for our Lincoln Day dinner. It's about 7 or 8 of the candidates up here for the Lincoln Day dinner. It's very nice to see. And, you know, you're all very cordial and very nice with each other. And whenever you're in a forum, you know, there's been no debates yet. It's been very good. You know, not like your California Democrats or anything like that.
Yeah, we're trying to avoid the circle fire because, you know, a lot of us are saying very similar stuff, right, about we want to build, we want to move Alaska forward. And the difference is what it comes down to is who do you think can actually do the job? Who can get it done?
True.
And who has the background for it? Well, some of the people, they may have, you know, voted on policy. Have they ever had to implement it? Have they ever actually had to run organizations? And that's, you know, my background running the health department, at the time was the largest organization in the state of Alaska. 3,500 employees and $3.5 billion. And I had to run that bear through. And then when I step over into revenue, you know, it goes you down to 400 employees, but you know every dollar that comes into the state, as well as how it's invested, because you're a fiduciary of $135 billion of state assets. And so it's
for 700,000 residents.
Yeah. And so we are the richest poor state. The fact that we've got a lot of money on hand, but we don't have the best cash flow. And so it's just looking at that background, that experience, you know, coming into this, I'm a private sector guy. I'm a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
got commercial property, things like that, and been able to build and invest and hire people in Alaska. And putting that background all together, I joke that no rational person would ever have my career path, but it has given me one heck of a diversified knowledge base for what is good in Alaska and what needs fixed and how to do it.
You know, everyone talks about the Alaska Permanent Fund dividend. Put that off to the side. What I look at is I look at the Alaska Permanent Fund and the management of that. You know, they average about a 6% rate of return. So then you take, say, you take inflation out of that, say at 3.5%, your actual net gain every year is 2.5 to 3%. And I just think that is not criminal, but fiduciary negligent. It should it should have at least a 9 to 11% rate of return.
There was a fight. I got voted the vice chair of the Permanent Fund Board of Trustees my last year. And myself and the chair, Jason Bruni, we raised a lot of questions to staff and the consultants about where we sit from a risk profile.
Yeah.
And it's really unique in what the permanent fund is, because it's not just an investment account. It actually is an income account as well. And so when we actually talk to national consultants, it doesn't really quite hit like a public pension fund where you can kind of set it and let it accrue for a long time, or just an endowment. It kind of sits in between. So like the pensions, you need income. The endowment is really long-term investment. We sit somewhere in the middle. So it's even hard to find peer groups. And knowing where we're at in Alaska, that the importance of the permanent fund, particularly since 2017, you know, since that time, just to, you know, rough numbers, over 60% of our state revenues come from investment earnings. And making sure that you're protecting against downturns so that there's cash available to run the state, mm-hmm. but also growing the fund over time, is a weird balance. And I know that personally, I do think there's a little bit more risk that we can take in this. It's easy to get comfortable and also paralysis by analysis. And I want to continue to make sure that staff are pushing and making sure that we are gaining as much as possible. Because on a fund of where it's at, like $89 billion, even a gain of a 0.5% is a massive amount of money.
Yeah. That's $500 million.
You need to look at.
Yeah.
We don't need to swing this to gain, 15-12%. We need to make sure that we are in the 8-9% consistently every year. And if we can find a way to get there even if it's a little bit more risk, that is so much more money in value to the state of Alaska.
Very true. Very true. Anyway, there's always that fight of well, how much of a dividend do you get? But I always look at, hold it. Look at the big picture here. The big picture is the permanent fund itself, the proper management, expanding its role to receive a higher yield. Simple as that. So, but that's, I'm not in the trenches like you were, and that's why I like you as a candidate, because you were there on the operation side of the largest health and social services, the largest department we had, and you were there for, 4 years?
Full 4 years.
As commissioner revenue on the operational income and expense side. You know, there's probably a budget you never – do you dream about budgets when you go to bed?
Even when the governor – the funny thing is the revenue, right? We're the incoming. We're not the outflow.
Yeah.
But for the governor to do his constitutionally mandated budget every December 15th, we have to put together the revenue sources book, and that's the responsibility of the Department of Revenue. It is taking every dime, every account that the state has, every dime that we project coming into the future, and putting it and compiling it as massive document that then informs the governor and the Office of Management and Budget of what they can realistically expect for possible revenues to spend. And yes, it was it's a lot of work going through that stuff and every little change and document and how are we risking this. And thankfully there is a group deep inside of revenue called the Economic Research Group that is led by a chief economist and this team, and they are just about the numbers. They are politically agnostic. It is literally putting the numbers together to give you an objective viewpoint. And I'm grateful for that group because, man, that is a bear of a job, because we do current year budgeting on current year prices, and it's kind of an absurd thing. I wish we could get to a point to where we actually look at our historical budgets and project that out, and if there's a surplus or not, we've got enough to either put into savings or we have enough savings to draw from.
Yeah.
The state of Texas is one of the largest economies in the world. I don't know the exact number. I'm going to say like seventh, right?
Mm-hmm.
More than most of the countries. They do a biennial. Every 2 years, they set their budget. And they're able to come back in and more often than not say, oh, we have a surplus. But that, I mean, just imagine that ability to not have this dumb budget fight every year.
I've often thought that if I could, you know, wave a magic wand and change our system, or even maybe, you know, put it on an election ballot for the state of Alaska, is to go to a biennial budget like that. And then in the off year, you come in and you have to make the legislature pass a budget adjustment within the first 60 days, and you're done with it. You're done with it.
And then you can focus on policy.
Because, exactly.
I mean, we are by far the least amount of policy passing legislatures in the entire country.
You know, that there's good news and bad news with that, though.
Yeah, that is true. But there are things that need to be tweaked. You know, we've got rules on the books from the 70s that don't apply anymore that we need to try to remove or repeal or modernize our systems. And I agree it's a deliberative body, but there are good ideas that go and die that harm Alaskans because of our infatuation of this budgetary process that just consumes everything.
It does.
Go back 10 years ago, they used to pass the education budget by March so school districts could build their budget and submit it to the state by May.
Yeah. And you have to realize that you have 2 years in a legislative cycle. And the first year budget is going to be a lot different than the second year budget, because the second year their people are going to try and get reelected.
Yeah, this is a true story. And so, yeah, your motivations change.
Yeah. Ready for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Adam Krum.
Please don't hang up the phone. This is an important message
from
your Google business account.
Oh, we got a Google business account. Oh, God.
Alphabet's trying to jump in.
Yeah. Oh. Only on KFAR Radio. We do not discriminate between Google and, say, Alexis, you know, whatever. So what was it? We got about 2 minutes before our break. What was it that said to you, I'm going to run for governor? What was that?
You know, my wife jokes and tells a story that during COVID, she always would comment, like, who would ever want to run for governor? But as we moved and progressed through, and she's seen me accumulate this knowledge base, we're starting to have these conversations about what does Alaska look like? Who actually has been battle tested enough in order to do this? And when I started thinking about who is possibly going to run and not, I just personally was like, I think I'm the one who is best set up for this. And it's a change that more often than not, people that run for governor are towards the end of their careers, or it's like a feather in the cap. I have to be accountable for the way I govern if I'm governor.
Mm-hmm.
I could be a two-term governor, and I don't get to retire yet. I still have to have my daughters go to school in the state of Alaska. And that is a difference in the energy and the impetus required to get this job done. Because you'll have a lot of folks come in with great intentions, but they'll push just hard enough, and then when they get enough pushback, they say, okay, I tried, and they back off.
Yeah, they're going to coast.
The difference is my age? Nah, that's not an option. If we don't go forward and win and successful and bring people along with us to make Alaska thrive, that means that I can't stay in Alaska. Neither can my kids and a lot of other people, you know, south of 50. We have to make sure that we are setting Alaska up for success in a long-term, durable manner.
True. Adam, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be back after some bumper music, some commercials, some Fox News, state news, and weather. And Fairbanks, we will be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. President Trump speaking to reporters at the White House this afternoon about the U.S. ongoing blockade of Iranian ports. The president says part of this is his hope for this blockade to get Iran back to the negotiating table. But, Mr. President, what about China? Doesn't their President Xi Jinping want the Strait of Hormuz opened up also?
He certainly wants it ended. Everyone, I want to see it ended, too. But we can't give a nuclear weapon to a group of people that have caused nothing but havoc for 47 years.
Well, it's nothing but hamburgers with a DoorDash driver delivering a couple of bags of McDonald's to the president of the White House today. Sharon Simmons, her name, says he's grateful about a campaign promise the president is fulfilling.
Well, I want to thank you.
Thank you very
for
much.
The no tax on tips.
No, that's good.
It has helped my family out immensely.
The president will be in Nevada later this week for a no tax on tips event. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports a Fairbanks man accused of threatening an attack on a labor union hall was charged with two counts of second-degree terroristic threatening after Alaska state troopers said they found more than 40 firearms and thousands of rounds of ammunition at his home. Donald Scott McTaggart, 66, was arrested Wednesday after troopers said they received a report that he had made terroristic threats. When troopers tried to reach him at his residence, McTaggart went inside and barricaded himself. Authorities obtained arrest and search warrants, and Northern SWAT responded to the home. After a short standoff, McTaggart surrendered. No injuries were reported. According to the affidavit, a caller told investigators that McTaggart said he planned to storm the labor union hall on Davis Road, had a house full of weapons, and intended to hold a building until all the Democrats were dead. Investigators also said union representatives provided screenshots of threatening messages allegedly sent by McTaggart. McTaggart was booked into Fairbanks Correctional Center and charged in Fairbanks with two felony counts of second-degree terroristic threatening.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
When you love being outside in Alaska, wintertime is just another trail to more sporting opportunities. Gear up with Frontier Outfitters. No matter what it is, small game hunting, predator calling, ice fishing, and more, you'll find what you're looking for. Guns, ammunition, optics, GPS, traps, snares, and the right clothes. Winter camping necessities as well, and a variety of tents and sleeping bags. Prepare for success. Visit Frontier Outfitters. It's the best start to your next outdoor adventure for your Alaskan lifestyle. Frontier Outfitters. Outfitters.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Adam Crum on the radio with me. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic.
So, basically, you looked at yourself and said, I can probably do this the best for the state more than anyone else can because I've had the experience, not in the executive office itself, but running two of the most important divisions in the state of Alaska. And your wife looked at you and said, yeah, right.
No, she was the one who was, she's exceptionally public service minded.
Yes.
And each time I get frustrated or wanted to like either move on, like, hey, I think it's time to leave the role. And she would just say like, can you help? I'd say, yes. She goes, then you have to stay. And continuing to push in that it's about who are you serving, and that's the mission. You know, that's what's important to me as a Christian, is making sure you're taking care of the people you say you're going to and actually being very mission focused.
You know, looking at it now, you're about 50 days out from the 1st of June, which is the last day to register for running for office for the governor. And you have to have a team. So when are you looking at announcing your lieutenant governor choice?
It's a good question. Not for a little bit. I got folks that I've talked to, and we've gone down the list. You know, historically, right, lieutenant governor ran separately. And so it was always kind of like an arranged marriage.
Sometimes they weren't happy.
You never saw the lieutenant governor and the governor work well together. They, quite literally, they pushed the lieutenant governor off into their corner, and they would say, stay there until I call you out. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm against ranked choice voting. I can't wait for it to get repealed. But if we're going to use this method where we get to actually pick our lieutenant governor, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to add someone to my team who's a force multiplier that is philosophically aligned and is going to help push the movement forward so the governor's office can be more effective than ever before.
Okay. Any demographics you're looking at?
You know, initially it was always conversations about, like, who are you going to pick from different regions of the state and strategically what can that look with. And, you know, people don't really vote on the bottom of the ticket. They vote for the top of the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing that for a while, and now it really has just come back down to, is like, I'm a merit-based guy. I am if you are qualified, if you are the one who's going to work your way and grind your way there, that is it. So now it's just back down to who is the best person that can actually come in and do this.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ready for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with gubernatorial candidate Adam Crum, and your name is?
Randy.
Randy, what are you up to?
Well, I always get a little nervous whenever I hear Senator Kathy Geisel talking about this natural gas line. Just the other day on TV, I saw her on a panel talking about that subject, and she said, she mentioned, kind of right in the middle of it, about the possibilities of taking gas off the North Slope directly, which I interpreted as kind of justifying letting some of the air out of the tires of the main gas line attempt and project. But what is your opinion? What's the possibilities or pitfalls of taking gas off the North Slope directly?
You know, I think what we're at now is the pitfall definitely is the length of time for permitting. We have right now in the gas line proposal, we have full FERC permits that have been actually defended at court multiple times, including by the Biden administration. So if this thing, we can find a way to get this to final investment decision, this thing will go. The problem is of any other new project, whether that would be power generation and power lines running down or direct gas offtake off the slope by an LNG tanker, that means that's a long run of a permitting process, which pushes it 10 to 15 years out. And that's the main pitfalls of this. I like the idea of monetizing our gas as soon as we possibly can.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call, Randy. A very good answer there, Adam. Most people don't realize that. Most people say, well, we can do this and this, you know, start this immediately. And no, you don't get to.
No, it's Alaska is a very, very big state. And anything we do, there's a lot of people who have say in it, mainly because the number one landlord in Alaska is the federal government.
Yes, they are. So when you're out on the campaign trail, is there a repeated theme or thought or worry or something that keeps coming up?
It's why haven't we built anything? Built anything being new roads, new infrastructure from transmission lines, something to actually push Alaska a little bit further so communities get access to jobs. And that's my big push. You know, being in revenue, it's not just about the investment side. You're in charge of public finance. And I got to learn very, very much firsthand that the state of Alaska in our cities does very, very little when it comes to public finance. We usually wait until we got a bundle of cash in hand and then we go buy something, as opposed to every other city, county, and state in the country is actively in the bond market, and they're using debt servicing to fund projects and to recruit groups, and it makes your dollar go further. You know, I think famously last year, I think we had like a $200 million capital budget. Most of that was for highway match. We could do $1 billion of geo bond projects all around the state for $80 million annual debt service.
You know, you have the municipal bond bank to do that with.
And, well, that would just be from the state.
Yeah.
We could do this as the state. The legislature has to put it together and the people vote on it. But there are needs. I was in Ketchikan. I visited the village of Saxman, and I got to go to the state of Saxman. And they were saying the road in front of the town has been on the STIP for the highway project since 1991. that they have a massive need for their water line. They produce their own water and sewer, but they need to upgrade their water system in order to develop and build housing. Those things like that in communities are like the easiest things to get political will to bond for, because there's so many areas of the state that we could find these critical projects that helps these communities directly, and it changes how people feel about where they live.
And so the average person in Saxman is now 37 years old, which is at the time is when they decided that they needed this.
Yep.
That's sort of sad, scary, but enlightening all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, how was, you know, I never heard anything bad about your relationship with the legislature. You know, this, you know, you have some people there that no matter what, they just dislike this governor for whatever reason. They're playing politics. But there was never anything, you know, from the legislature coming after you.
You know, I've had a pretty good one. I'm a team sports guy, and I'm a business owner. When you're a business owner and entrepreneur, you realize that everybody's dollar is green.
Yeah.
And you have to find ways to work with people because you want to serve people. And you need to make sure that you find common ground and work on that. And I was a team sports guy. I had an opportunity to go play football in college. And so there's ways in order to do this. And right now, the sheer acrimony, right, the slapping, the yelling, the fighting that has been going on in the legislature and the executive branch has helped no one. It has really just driven down the opinion. The approval rating on the governor has gone down. The legislature's approval rating has gone down. And we have to realize, why are we there? Are we there for ourselves, or are we there to actually move things along for the people of Alaska? And this big focus on refocusing on who we serve and moving things along, that's what I would do. You know, my first infrastructure project that I would push through would be a transmission line from Beluga and Cook Inlet all the way up to Healy. And that would open up space in our transmission line, modernize our grid for new power projects to move north and south.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because most people in Fairbanks don't realize that the size of that line two blocks is. You can only get so much power up there. And if the Alaska Energy Association took the lead in that and went to the municipal bond bank or any bond bank to do it, it pays for itself.
Yep. Yes, it does. In fact, there's actually a tool called a rate reduction bond, which I have already done the math with, and I've worked with Jefferies Bank and Goldman Sachs and Royal Bank of Canada, all these massive groups. This thing literally pays for itself. It's a minimal monthly charge on every rate payer for Alaska, of every rate payer in the rail belt for the next 30 years. But it opens up the lines. And so, example, people in Fairbanks, you buy power from Bradley Lake at 4 cents. After tolling costs, by the time it gets to you, it's at 14 cents.
Yeah. Just on that.
On top. And that just on that, you would actually have the ability for new projects. And so it doesn't matter why I see this. First off, it's a necessity. But it opens up for coal projects. It opens up if there's new gas found in Willow, which there's possibilities. If you want a solar farm or a wind farm, it doesn't matter. You still have to have this line in order to move the electrons. And I think that is how we get people on the left and the right aligned on a project like this in order to move that ahead. In the first time you really get a good project going and you get that taste of success, that begets more. And I think that is one of the keys on getting the legislature moving forward, reminding them of who we serve and how good it feels to actually accomplish something as opposed to just being a roadblock.
You got that right. We're going to take another commercial break, okay? And we'll be back in about 2 minutes after these messages, Fairbanks.
Our Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It has occurred to me that I am an introvert. I live a sheltered life as an old septic tank, gazing at the stars, pondering my poetry, appreciating the weather, rain or snow. I know my family has Bigfoot Pumpin' and Thawin' faithfully pump me out once a year. I count on that flow in my life, and I will continue to serve them much better for many years to come.
It's that time of year. Time for a good spring cleaning. No, we're not talking about your house. We're talking about your mouth. Get over to Affordable Dental Care off 14th Avenue. Schedule a good cleaning this spring for your mouth. They work with your insurance, offer full dental services for the entire family, and they back it up with those affordable prices. So before you start dusting ceiling fans and cleaning rugs, call Affordable Dental Care and start your spring cleaning today. In your mouth. That's Affordable Dental Care off 14th Avenue. Online at adcak.com.
Looking for a way to serve your state and secure your future? The Alaska Army National Guard offers tuition assistance, career training, and part-time service with full-time benefits. Build real-world skills, earn extra income, and be a part of a team that protects Alaska when it matters most. Your adventure starts here. Talk to your local recruiter today. The Alaska Army National Guard. Live here, work here, serve here. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
KFAR weather.
Chance for rain today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 39. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 19. High of 37. Tomorrow, slight chance for snow. A dusting of snow Wednesday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Adam Crum on the radio here with me. He is running for governor of the great state of Alaska. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, and I love that septic commercial. That was hilarious.
It's popular. You know, it's interesting. Both Fairbanks and Alaska, in development projects, the one I look at for Fairbanks anyway, and also for South Central Alaska, is the road project. So West Usitna Road and the Ambler Road project. And then I also sort of shake my head. You have these NIMBYs, not in my backyard. You know, if it's going to maybe have some sort of effect on my quality of life or the way I do something, you can't do that. You know, with the Ambler Road, we've heard all about, it's going to ruin the caribou migration patterns, which is 100% incorrect. And, you know, finally, Ada has leased an office space here in Fairbanks to run a construction engineering firm out of, you know, to start looking at the design and the cost of the project. So when you do something like that, you're building for the future. And there is nothing better for an economy or a region or to keep people in the state than a good high-paying job.
That is exactly it. You know, it's when we talk about durable economic development and diversifying, it's talking about how do you get jobs in the state that keep people here? Because a good, high-paying job has a multiplier factor of at least 5.
Yeah.
5X.
Yeah.
Somebody makes $100,000, $150,000, multiply that by 5, and that's how much that money goes throughout the community and the other jobs and services it supports. And you know what? I love the West Sioux and the Ambler Road, and I was on the board of Ada and voted for each of those to get pushed through. And those things, we can provide what the world needs. We could be the domestic supply chain for the United States for critical minerals and rare earths. And these jobs stay in Alaska, and we can actually, along with our affordable energy through some of these projects, can do value-added processing. And these things would be this little bit of minerals processing. These are mechanics, fabricators, welders, warehouse hands, all of these really good-paying jobs, both here at Port McKenzie as well as in Fairbanks, because Fairbanks is the economic hub of where Ambler and the Dalton Highway. And it is just a tremendous opportunity of what can actually occur in Alaska and how much we can have a boon of a thriving economy where people and families want to stay.
Well, you know, Adam, I have to make an announcement here. This is critical. This is critical to the city of Fairbanks. And it's right here on KFAR Radio. Fairbanks, the geese have arrived at Kramer's Field. The official time is 11:24 a.m. So the goose watch is over. they're here. How do you like that from my Les Nessman report?
No, it works. Actually, when I heard the weather forecast, you guys are capping at 40. You guys have turned the corner from the last time I was up there.
Yeah. You know, and then when it comes back to, like, you know, the West who sit in a road and Ambler, you know, that industry, you know, we have State Senator Scott Kawasaki here, and he's always attacking the oil field industry about local hire. Yet that's at 70%. 70%. Now, if you go into, say, the vacation industry, you know, the visitor industry, that's about 50% of permanent residents. Then if you go into the commercial fishing industry, you know, 50 to 60% of the revenue goes outside the state, along with 40 to 50% of the operators. So when you're looking at mining, resource development, the vast majority of those workers are from the state of Alaska.
Yep. Yeah. And this money stays here and it multiplies throughout. You know, the other thing we haven't, like, talked about, but I think as a state, we've done a very poor job of preparing our kids for these jobs of the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was this massive push in the 80s, and everybody learns how to type, learn how to code, get on computers, go to college. You know, I've got quite an academic background, but I'm the first one to tell everybody, don't go to college.
Yeah.
Stay out of debt. If there's anything particular you want to learn, it's called a book or the internet. But you can get a heck of an education by doing hands-on training and skills and then having the money to be able to afford out of travel. Because the skilled trade jobs that we have available in Alaska can really set you up for incredible success.
Yes, they can. You know, and one of the best things I ever did was I graduated from college without debt, because, you know, I would come up to Fairbanks from college and I'd go work in the oil field, the construction industry, you know, all summer long, and I'd go off to back to college. You know, that's just what I did. So when I graduated, it was without debt. But hey, I didn't spend a summer in Fairbanks for about 7 straight years. So, you know,
sacrifice.
Yeah, it was a sacrifice. So there's ways to do it and get ahead. And, you know, a college degree is nice. I use my college degree every day, you know, graduated business administration with a concentration in real estate and finance. And guess what I do? So where'd you go to college, or did you?
I went to Northwestern University in the Big Ten, and I got my master's from Johns Hopkins.
I know. I've had you on the radio before, but I just wanted to, you know, repeat that. You know, Northwestern, boy, and Johns Hopkins, man, the two very good learned institutions, that's for sure.
Yeah, my K-8 school, Chapman Elementary in Anchor Point, definitely set me up for success, as well as, you know, how to work, how to grind, and put in the effort.
You know, it's interesting here. We have the University of Alaska with all of its, you know, University of Alaska Southeast and Juneau, out of Juneau, University of Alaska Anchorage. Then you have the University of Alaska, which is Fairbanks. Any thoughts on how, if as a governor, you would view their operations?
Oh, very easy. I like what Wyoming does. Wyoming has a flagship university, and the other ones supplement in some way. And in Alaska, the flagship university is the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. That is the primary education hub for the state. That is the different thing that we can offer the world in a subarctic environment, along with everything we have from the Aurora, the concentration of NASA, Department of War. That is the university that needs to continue to grow and thrive, because unique studies can come out of there with everything from the permafrost to the Arctic climate.
And that doesn't mean that, you know, business or engineering degrees can't be given at the other ones either. You know, no. You can get very good education and degrees, very sought after degrees, in both Anchorage and Juneau.
Agreed. And I think what we've seen is a Southeast has actually done a very good job of its focus, right? I would say my goal, a flagship university in Fairbanks, Anchorage needs to be the health university for the state.
Yeah, we're looking at all the hospitals.
Yep, got all the hospitals, the nursing schools, the WAMI program, and Southeast needs to be, why don't we have like a Cal Maritime of Alaska? Like, why aren't we training sailors and ships there, as along with our marine biologists and our aquaculture? That, I mean, take advantage of the regional advantages that we have.
Yeah,
that's what we need to do for our university system.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You know, you don't have a maritime college at all. And
the Arctic is opening up.
Yeah.
Northwest Passage is a real thing. It's no longer a myth.
Yeah.
Why aren't we training and having the folks having to learn how to operate in the Alaskan waters to go to work here, because more and more boats are going to pass through?
Very true. Very true. So you're headed off to, we got about 4 minutes left. You're headed off to Kodiak. How long are you in Kodiak for?
Kodiak, about a day and a half. Got some friends down there who lined up meetings. We'll have a meet and greet, get to just meet folks, talk about some of the issues down there, so I say hi, introduce myself in a different way, and then come back. And I don't even know what's next for a while. I joked with my campaign manager. I said, where was I yesterday?
Yeah. You ever wake up in a hotel room and the lights are off and you're waking up and you're saying to yourself, where am I?
Yeah. And it's, you know, my job is to think about policy, to put brain power towards listening. Every time I have conversations with people and hear their ideas, and just trying to then, okay, how do I then convert that into usable policy that I can communicate?
True. When's the next time you're coming to Fairbanks? Do you know that yet? Because there's me and you have to get together for a specific reason.
That's right. I don't have a. I'm gonna be up there. I'll be up there sometime in May. I'm definitely coming in June. I'll have a big event in June, which we're gonna wait on the announcement until we get some things finalized. But we're gonna have a monster blowout event. It'll be pretty awesome. And yeah, but I'm enjoying going up there and getting to know all of the folks up there in the region. And I always joke that, you know, Fairbanks is such a unique, resilient place that unless you were born there or you moved there for work, like...
You never go there.
People, you know, I'm born and raised in Alaska, and, you know, I go up there for softball tournaments as a young adult or for sports in high school. But other than that, and it's been through work and going up there and learning more and more about the region and the resilience and the issues you guys have. It's just crazy. You know, it's both the coldest and the hottest city on earth.
I know. We go
temperature swing.
Now, I don't mean this sexually, but we go both ways. Yeah. You know, 40 below to 90 above. How about that? 130 degree temperature change. My God. Ugh. So going to Kodiak, and then you reset. Then you've got a, you know, what I'm going to call from June 1, you have the 2.5 month sprint. Yep. to August, to mid August, man. And I've said this on the air. I think you're one of the four so far that I've seen that is doing well, that you should be on the final ballot. You should be one of the final four. So I congratulate you on that, and I commend you.
Thank you. It has been just a lot of work, but I'm enjoying it, because the best part about this is actually going around the state and meeting Alaskans. And, you know, when you ever had that feeling to where, like, you're kind of, excuse me, just pissed off?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But then when you go out and you find there's a lot of other people in the same boat, you're frustrated about the same thing, and it's a combination. It's both validating that you have those feelings, but it also makes you feel good that there's other people then who are willing to step up and grind it out with you to fix it.
There you go.
And that's what I've been finding as I've been on the trail, is there are so many Alaskans and families that are kind of just fed up with the bickering, the fighting, being stuck in the mud, and we want to make sure that we are creating a pathway that encourages people to buy a house here because it's going to retain its value, that there's going to be housing available for your kids and there's going to be jobs, and wanting to just, okay, the time has come. Let's roll up our sleeves and let's do this different than we have done before. Let's innovate. Let's build.
Adam, I great.
You feel great.
Yep. Adam, I greatly appreciate you being able to be on the show with me. We have to close her up now. You take care. Travel well. I'll talk to you soon, and I'll see you soon also. Okay, sir?
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. Fairbanks, that is our show for today. Tomorrow, I've got Tammy Wilson. We're going to talk about combining both the state and the local election ballots. I'll see you tomorrow.